Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. In this service and the second service, we will be examining soul winning. Hallelujah. All right, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We'll read verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I'll take it one more time. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. As the stars forever and ever. This book prophesies and lets us know who the stars of Christianity are. You know, in different fields of endeavor, you have those who are their stars. And sometimes they reward, for example, in the science world, they have the Nobel that is given to maybe certain individuals for their feats. You have the in soccer, football has, it used to be Ballon d'Or, I think it's now split. There's now FIFA, there's Ballon d'Or. But so in different endeavors, you have who they call their star in the legal profession where I trained. You have the lawyers who become the senior advocate of Nigeria. And then they say, oh, because he has gone to the peak of the profession, they are now different things. You know. But in Christianity, Daniel says, those who turn many to righteousness will be as stars forever. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They will be as the stars. In other words, they shine forever. Go to James 5:20. James 5, verse 20. Now, James 5:20, interestingly, has a dual application. And I will explain that a bit to you later, but I believe in the teaching series, Paul Three Men, I must have touched this verse. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5. He calls someone who converts another a savior. He has saved. In other words, there's a whole lot of regard in the kingdom of God for those who preach the gospel. There's a whole lot. And you and I need to realize that, and quickly so. Remember what Daniel said, those who turn men to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever. You know, we talk about, as a younger believer, we used to refer to, when I get to heaven, I'll get crowned and crowned and crowned. As long as we have not defined what the crowns are and what they are for. But if you read scriptures very well, you will realize what the crowns refer to. I'll show you a couple. Look at Philippians. We'll take 2:5-4. All over the place. Philippians. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He calls them his joy and his crown. That's what he calls it. My joy and my crown. See, scriptures define what excites, if I'm permitted to use that term, a believer. So you, brethren, you are my joy, you are my crown. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians again. He repeats it. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are, verse 20, our glory and joy. I'll take it one more time. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Glory be to God. Are you following me? You are. Some of the people have said, well, my joy are my children. It's good. You have kids and you have, they're your joy. But that has no eternal implication. Nothing has. So I said, well, my greatest joy in 2016 is that this year, I've been longing for promotion at my office. I was promoted eventually. He didn't say that. Because anybody can call that his or her joy. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He says, you are our joy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin, verse 1, to commend ourselves, or need we as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? He says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are our epistle. In other words, the proof of ministry, the proof of serving the Lord are men. Are you listening to me? The proof are men. The joy, said the crown, you. Glory to his name. As a Christian, today, Can you speak like Paul? Or the apostle? Can you speak like they have spoken? I said, that person is my brother. That brother, that sister is my crown. Let me say this quickly. The judgment seat of Christ is not like we in the world, where they announce the winner is the best actor for the year 2016 African movie is No. Just like when you were in school. I don't know, but I believe when we were in school, the speech and prize giving day, we knew who was the first. You don't pray to be there. If you had your report card way ahead of time, you won't say, I hope to one way. You scored 46 over 100. Except the school has a mass production of failures, you cannot have your name on there. So don't expect to be rewarded for what? For excelling in your profession? That's great. And God respects our human fulfillment. Okay? But that does not fulfill His own desire. That fulfills your desire, which is great. It's just like thinking, answered prayer is for God. Answered prayer does not glorify God. Answered prayer satisfies you. Hallelujah. Even though God is the one that answered it. In two scriptures, Jesus talked about the use of His name. In John 14, 12 and 13, so whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Say, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father is glorified in the Son. The works. Say, the Father is glorified in the Son when you do works in the name of Jesus. And we identified that this year as primarily getting people saved. Now, in John 16:23, say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask that your joy may be full. Can you see two different things? One, the Father is glorified where? In the Son. The other one, your joy is full. You are happy. But that doesn't mean you have fulfilled the desire of the Father. Praise God. Say, you are our crown. You are our joy. Glory be to His name. So, winning souls for the kingdom of God is not an extracurricular activity. When you are free, when you are less busy, and things like that, no. Soul winning is the Christian's mandate. Is your money. Highly important. I said, no, why did that have this thing hanging like this? Make sure you fix it instead of that. You see? You know, it's a mandate for all of us to carry out. Glory to His name. How can a Christian who accepts Christ, who has accepted Christ in his heart, be asking, what is the will of God for me? That's a very funny question. I think it's a very funny question. You admit and accept that Christ came into this world to save sinners. Is that not true? Nobody needs to tell you that. Whether you are chief or you are like Paul, nothing matters now. But Christ came into this world to save sin. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15. You admit that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Zechariah chapter 19 verse 6. You admit that. You admit that the Son of Man looks gospel. Sorry, I said Zechariah. Luke 19 6. My head was in Zacchaeus. Luke 9 verse 56. The Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. You admit that. You admit John 10 10. That I have not come, but that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You admit 1 Timothy 2 3. Who will have all men to be saved, verse 4, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You admit that. You admit that it's not the will of God that any man should perish. 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18. You admit that. But all should come to the knowledge of the truth, to repentance. You admit that. And then you are asking, what is the will of God for my life? You already know God's will. Asking that question means you are not ready to obey. So, we want to look at this because we're going to take it step by step. But also establishes that Christianity has rewards. Christianity, Christian living, has rewards. And those rewards are not material. Establish that in your heart. That's important. You must establish that in your heart. You know, sometimes as Christians we can be very interested. How can a Christian say about another Christian, he's prayerful? A Christian says about another Christian, she's prayerful. Should that be a special attribute of a believer or a common characteristic of believers? I ask a question to you. How can you say another Christian is prayerful? Or is it, that brother, he loves to win souls. So you hate it. You know, we also saw, we call some brethren, that brother is spiritual. So you are carnal. You know, we should not make you such a man. When you see a fellow believer who is prayerful, you see in him or her what you ought to be doing. We must ask the right questions. When I was a younger Christian, when you see a believer after a long time, there are questions we ask ourselves. The first is, how is your spiritual? If I say, how is your life? Your life has different dimensions. But we ask direct questions. How is your spiritual life? The guy knows what you're asking. It means, how is your prayer life? How is Bible study? How is morning devotion, not just devotion, we call it morning devotion. How is soul winning? How have you been overcoming temptations in this world? Those are the questions. But after a while, and some things came into the picture. How are you now? Where are you now? What do you do? Great. Then the guy says, I just got an offer, a contract to supply grass in the northeast of Nigeria. I don't know why you're laughing at that. Is that not faithful? The guy says, wow! Man, I can't go for you. What has changed? They ask him,
In fact, Diana tells him, in fact, I've not even had time for church in a while. Yeah, I understand. With the kind of intensity of the money you are making, you can't have time. Glory to his name. So we've got to get it right. Soul winning is not an extracurricular activity where, you know, when you are free and then maybe you have nothing doing today, then you say, let me move things. What can I do for my spare time? Okay. Let me see whether I can drop a word or two for somebody by the way. You know, and then you say, how are you? I learned your pastor who came for World Changers Conference. He went to an evangelist. And then he saw someone on Okada. Okada is the bike. Then he said, come, let me just tell you something. Whatever you lay your hands upon, evangelism shall prosper. So the lady who was with him, a member of one of our churches, said, what did you just say? Right in the presence of the and said, and they call you pastor. I see you fly all over Facebook, pastor, pastor. He said, you should go and remove that title. You don't deserve it. It's the truth. How can you be a pastor? You can't do evangelism. I once took out some leaders in 1998, a church I pastored. I took over the pastor, so there were these guys who were pastors, who were like, they called them chapter pastors. So I said, we have to go on evangelism. I wasn't sure why they made them pastors. Let me find out whether they should be. So when we were on Adeline Ogunsanya then, and then we began to do evangelism. That's how the guy, the church secretary, stayed with somebody, and they were just talking and talking. I was too sure it was not preaching. So I went close by, and just in advising the guy, you know, there are some things that are difficult in this life. You can seek God about it. And the guy was smoking and puffing the thing up as they were talking. So I said, hold on, watch me. So I began to preach. Right in his presence, the guy got saved. I was full of the Spirit. So I said, you know what's going to happen? He said, sir? You are no longer a pastor. You can't be. Pastor is not a chief fancy title. That's what we have told you today. You want to do ordination? It's like coronation. You know, I come from a royal family, so I know what coronation is. You do ceremony, then you do dance, then you wear clothes, then they put you on the throne. It isn't. I said, you are no longer the church secretary. You can't be. One of the pastors where I went to his house and saw that all his CDs were music. Tapes. Music, 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 music. And he just squeezed one teaching in the middle. I said, you can't remain a pastor here. If you were into music production, I understand. Why can you be a pastor and everything about you is singing? We have to get serious. Praise the Lord. So these are not, they are not fit in Christianity. That fellow went for evangelism. He's a deep believer. That guy prayed. He's Christ Jesus. No. If anyone has misrepresented the faith to you, that's why you had that kind of idea. So let's begin to look at scripture. Look at Mark 16 and verse 15. Are you out there? I said, are you out there? The stars of Christianity are those who win souls and are involved in discipleship. Those are the stars of Christianity. I repeat myself. The stars
of Christianity. Those who are the stars of Christianity. Who shine are those who win souls.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to read verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice some important terminologies. The first thing he says is go. What does that imply? That implies without hearing a voice, you already have a voice. You don't need to say, Lord, what is your will? No, no, no. He has told you to go into all the world. So, hear me out. I shared this in the last year, World Church Conference. A growing Christian is a missionary Christian. He sees his life as a mission or on a mission with the gospel of Christ. Go, he says, into all the world and preach the gospel. So the first thing he says is you go. So I say, go. How do you go? Go into all the world. In other words, you go to people. Thank God for times when people will call us and ask us to share with them. I remember one time, one lady in our fellowship in Korinthian, our sister, who was married to a church-going person, but she was a Muslim, she asked her to call me. To come to share the gospel in our house. That happens. People will call you. Just like in Acts 13, the deputy called on Paul so that he wants to hear the word. But you see, that's an exception. Without anyone calling you, Jesus had already commanded you to go. So it means that this responsibility will require your action. You will go. In other words, you will take the initiative yourself. Now someone say, well, sir, is there a level in Christianity? No. Listen carefully. These people, and I want this to sink into your understanding. These people who Jesus commanded, do you know that just a couple of days before, he was rebuking them for not believing he had been raised from the dead? In fact, he had just called them fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Luke's Gospel 24, 25, 27. So they were not spiritual giants. Are you following what I'm saying here? They are typical new converts. In fact, the best Bible study they had was within the 40 days Jesus came back. So they didn't exactly have 6 months or 8 months of intense everyday teaching meetings. Yet he told them to go. In other words, believing the gospel is enough qualification to preach the gospel. When I got saved, about 29 years ago, it was the evening I accepted the gospel, about 28. The evening I accepted the gospel,
of Christ that was taken out to go and preach. As I got saved, they gave me your new life in Christ by Paul Junot. So I should read it before the evening evangelism. So there was no time to grow. And one of the things they wrote in New Life in Christ is you must share the salvation with other people. So there was no room. There was, and that evening, they took me out and they said, preach. So I was preaching. I was just saying, serve the Lord. Know the Lord. Fear the Lord. If you die in your sins, you go to hell. But I started. More important than the knowledge is the passion. If you have the knowledge without the passion, what's the knowledge for? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. These are just new converts. They are just people that are coming. In fact, by the time you follow through with them in the book of Acts, you discover that they were not exactly very deep. But the heart desire was there. Go. The requisite qualification to go and preach to another person is salvation. You didn't hear what I just said. You didn't hear what I just said? It's salvation. I was at a conference a couple of years ago. And I asked the question, and I liked that church because they were very sincere. I said, how many of you do not have a body for sinners? For the unbelievers. How many do you have? And many people raised their hands. Well, I like you guys. You are very honest. Some guys that said, I have. I asked him when last he approached an unbeliever 2 years ago. How do you say you have a body for something you don't do? And I told them one truth. I said, for you not to have a burden for souls, it means you have not been growing spiritually. Do you know, you can't be close to someone and not know what is his greatest. Let me ask you, look up everybody, what is God's greatest desire? Do you know what it is? What is it, sir? What? That all men be saved. You agree with that? Who agrees with him? That's his greatest desire. So, if you are walking with God, what will be, and you say you love God, you walk with Him, you, oh my, He's my greatest, He's my everything, I love Him, more than anything, I love Him. What would be your own greatest desire? The same thing. Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. That would be your own greatest desire. So He says to go. To go into all the world. And preach the gospel. So you have a duty to go. Not to invite people to church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Not giving out flyers. But there, a member of our church was telling us a couple of days back that she saw some folks that came to her, I think it was in a business center or something. And then they said, we want to share the love of God with you. And then they gave the flyer of their church. And said, come for our service tomorrow. And there were three. If it was one person, it's understandable. Three people. She now says she called them, come back. Sit down. This is not evangelism. So what she asked them, what did you do? Said evangelism. So this is not evangelism. You have just invited me to church. And God didn't tell you to do this. Put down your flyer. Let me teach you evangelism. The sinner is teaching the evangelist. Evangelist. Now, do you know scriptures concerning salvation? They did not know. So, you need to realize that when you go to preach, you are not talking about saints' community. You need to go into all the world and tell them about your church. Mm-mm.
The gospel is about Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:16, from there, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, Romans 1:16, unto salvation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Men cannot be saved if they don't hear the message. Understand that. Men cannot be saved if they don't hear the message. Look at Romans 10. Don't forget, the first thing about the gospel or soul winning is that you what? What? You what? You go. Learning soul winning does not win souls. Knowing, understanding soul great salvation 1 to 20 and knowing salvation is forever. Salvation is for eternity. For eternity is in the spirit. It moves to the mind. It's not, doesn't save anybody. After all, you are learning that because you are already saved. That does not add to the kingdom of God. Because many of us are so busy to know so much, and we do so little. Look at Romans 10. I have two more verses that I think I want to examine. Romans 10. Are you learning something here? Come on, are you learning something here? Romans 10. You know, the truth is, I once, and somehow, by divine providence, I've been privileged from a younger age in ministry to be involved in training people. I remember in 1996, there was this church, UMC Elijah, that they had this training school that was in the same location where we used to have our meetings. So these people, they came for, just like where we use for the World Children's Conference. They were already clergy. So they came to be trained to be presbyter or something. Remember that. And then they joined in to our fellowship meeting. So I began to teach them privately. They were in the Bible school. Only one out of the 12 was born again. And they were leading churches. So we got them saved. So I began to teach them. Then I can't remember, but I think I took out 3 days every week to teach them 6-7 hours every day. They knew a lot of history, stories, and all that, but they did not know the gospel. You'd be surprised. And so that's why I made it almost incumbent that anywhere we do a school or ministry, there's some churches, for example, who have called us to help them set up Bible schools and all that. And I tell them, it's important and compulsory that everybody must go out in evangelism. And we see it. Whether you're a bishop or you're a big warehouse, whatever you are, you must go out. Because if you don't understand soul winning, you'll be preaching rubbish on the pulpit. Do you know what it took for Jesus to bring salvation to us? Are you out there? Look at Romans 10. There's Paul speaking. Verse 13. I want us to read verse 13 together. Okay, let's start from verse 12. Everybody. Romans 10 verse 12. Let's go. For there's no difference. Everybody, come on, let's go. For there's no difference between the Jew. Same. It's rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 12. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Now, let us answer. There are verse 14 to verse 15.
gives us an idea of the importance of our own duty. Notice, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then you can say, well, it's true. Anybody, anywhere can call upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. Then the next question, look at 14. How then? Let's take 14 together. And I want us to take those questions one by one. So we'll separate them. Let's go. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not been? Notice something. How shall they call on him? So the subject matter of the gospel is a person. How shall they call on him whom they have not what? It is, how shall they call his name? You can call his name and you have not believed. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Let's take the second question. Come on, let's take it together. Everybody, please. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? What does that mean? You need to hear to believe. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? They have not even heard. Heard. They have not heard at all. Watch this. Let's see the third question. How shall they hear? Everybody, come on, let's see that one more time. How shall they hear without a preacher? It is, how shall they hear without prayers? It is, how shall they hear without a church? How shall they hear without a preacher? Look at verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now look up, let's do some small analysis. From verse 14 to 15, what is the most important thing there? Huh? Come on. The preacher, why? When the preacher is present, the message is preached and heard, can be believed, and it can be called upon. Nothing works if there is no preacher. So, when you are praying for salvation of your relatives, of your classmates, or you are praying for salvation for people in your city or your village, they can't be saved because you are praying. They will only be saved because the message of salvation has been preached to them. That's it. So the preacher, today, if I'm going to pray for a place, that the word of God should get there, and I can't go. The first thing is, I don't have to pray for places where I can go to. Praying is disobedience. I don't have to pray. So places I can simply go to. Say, Lord, I pray, you touch their heart. It's not touch life. You touch their heart. I simply go. Because Jesus has said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But where I can't go, I simply pray for those who are there or those who will go. But prayer does not bring salvation to anybody. Did you hear what I said? Prayer does not bring salvation. If you like, pray for 1 year until the message is preached. No one can be saved. The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to
saying. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It has to be preaching. Therefore, a local church must be a place, amongst other things, but very vitally, that believers take upon themselves this divine responsibility. Do not forget where we started from. We said, who are the stars of Christianity? The stars of Christianity are those who touch lives with the gospel of Christ. Don't forget that's what we started from. In other words, people that are celebrated in Christianity are those who touch lives with the gospel, who take the gospel to others. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The preacher. Every believer is a preacher. Say, I'm a preacher. Come on, say like you say, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Now, you could be a preacher who is on leave. You could be a preacher who is on away without leave. You could be a preacher who is distracted into other things. But never think that you are not a preacher. The day you got born again, you became a preacher. Say, I am a preacher. If they ask you, are you a preacher? Don't say, ah, no, I'm just a church member. No. Every member of the body of Christ is a preacher of the gospel by calling. I didn't say you're a pastor. You know, he didn't say, how shall they hear except there be a pastor? Is that what he said? A preacher. He didn't say, go to all the world and be a pastor. He didn't say that. And preach the gospel to every creature. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. For example, I believe that what we do in many of our churches, and sometimes we are also guilty, is that we spend time on secondary things. A fellow was asking me, he said, I've observed your church that you don't do Christmas carol. I said, you are very observant. He said, why? Now look at that kind of question. A needless question. It was as though there was a verse of scripture we're not obeying. That the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 4 verse, you must do Christmas carol. Do you understand? I said, well, what is it about Christmas carol? He said, yes now. A time when we celebrate about the Lord's birth. I said, you know why you do that in your church? I said, why? Because you don't preach about it all the time. We preach about Christ all the time. We didn't know carol for him. He's our message. He's our song. Hallelujah. He's our worship. Hallelujah. You can't come to any of our services and not hear about Jesus. So we don't have to. You can make do with carol. At least you remember the Lord's death till he comes. In reality. However, we take advantage of that season where people are thinking about a baby in the manger. Santa Claus, who is his senior brother? Christmas tree instead of the cross. We'll take advantage of that season rather than go from place to place giving out hampers and cards. We'll take the message of Jesus Christ Hallelujah. So the season should not waste. Are you following what I'm saying here? I was so impressed with the Redeemed Christian Church of God. How they use this season to, they call it let's go official. Now I don't know the details and I don't have to. But I love the program. That in that kind of period, there is no better time of a holiday. I mean, I can walk up to someone and say, I'll share more of that in the second service. How are you? Happy? Merry Christmas to you. What's about Christmas or Christmas when Christ came and all? I mean, that's a conversation that I can use immediately. Don't say, Merry Christmas. What are you feeling this year? Mba. Hallelujah. Take this period to talk to your children about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now there's not one Christmas tree. I think I have one in my house. You get it? But you won't find anyone here. Because, I don't want to say something here because I was saying, we don't worship idols. I'll tell you that. Too bad it's out. You know, let's preach the message. The time we spend to do carol. And people are saying, The point is, people say, well, but I know a carol like that. Some people gave their life to Christ. They gave their life to Christ. Look at it very well. Maybe 20 people, I admit, 20 people, signify with their hands. They gave their life to Christ. Because 1,000 people sang. Are you thinking like I'm thinking? And then we spent millions. Whereas we'll have spent nothing but money for pure water or bottled drink. You won't spend any million. Praise God. Save your time. One person can win all the 20. One. Am I making sense? Sometimes we spend too much time on unnecessary things. How shall they hear without a preacher? Say, I am that preacher. 2 Corinthians 5. You learning something? 2 Corinthians 5. Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, anyone in Christ here, what is he? A new creature. All things are passed away. The old, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Do you know that? I want to show you something. Say something quickly. Do you know that when you got saved, listen carefully. Salvation is a new birth. And the proof of the new birth is that you have the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. You got the Spirit of God. John 3:3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5, except a man is born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Mother of God, I say unto you, must be born again. So being born again means you are born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. If Christ be in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, and the body is dead because of sin. He, the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, verse 11, dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead will dwell in your mortal bodies by the Spirit that walks in you. Now watch that. In verse 14, now as many as are led by the Spirit of God, say they are the sons of God. In verse 14. So the Spirit of God is a proof of the new birth. Do you know that talents did not come with the new birth? Talents. Whatever talent you had
now as a Christian, you had it before you got saved. Am I making any sense? Yeah, it was there. So, talents have no relationship with Christianity. So the question is, what did God, career, you were not given a Christian career in Christianity. There's a teaching, remember the title now, The Christian Vocation. Who remembers that? So it's 2010. Please remind me, I want it out. The Christian Vocation. What is your career as a Christian? Hallelujah. I want it out. So, look at this. Now, the new birth is proven with the Spirit. What is the work of the Spirit of God in the earth? Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of the truth, is come, He will convince the world of what? See, John 16 verse 9. He will convince the world of sin. In verse 13, it says, He will glorify me. In other words, He said, He will show you things to come in verse 12 and 13, which refers to what Christ will do for sin. So, the work of the Spirit of God in your heart to the world is to make Jesus known. Is somebody following what I'm saying this morning? The work of the Spirit of God in your heart, listen carefully, spiritual growth has an end. Spiritual growth is a means to an end. You grow to do much more work of the ministry. You don't grow unto yourself. You don't grow to have benefits. 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 No, you grow for the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach more people. 2 Corinthians 5. Are you there? Are you there? Verse 17. So, you're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Let's say verse 18 together. Come on, everybody. Everybody. I said everybody. Who has reconciled us to Himself and had given to us what? Now, who did He give this ministry? The new creature in Christ. So He has given you what? The ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. To wit, let's take it together. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us what? The word, the message. So if you're a new creation in verse 17, by verse 18, you become a minister. Verse 19, you become a preacher. Say, I'm a preacher. Say, I'm a preacher. You are not called by God to be a doctor. That is your career. You're not called by God to be a lawyer. That's your career. You're not called by God to be a businessman, to be a teacher. That's your career. To be a builder, an engineer, whatever. You are called by God to be a preacher. You are called by God. Say, I'm called by God to be a preacher. That must be on your mind. Do not forget how we started. I'm closing now. We said the stars of Christianity are those who turn men to righteousness. Can you remember that? Those are the stars of Christianity. That was a prophecy Daniel gave. The stars of Christianity are not those who own houses in exclusive areas. They are not those who have private jets. The stars of Christianity are not those who dress very fine. And you know, they do well in their career. That's wonderful, great stuff. But you see, that's not the star in Christianity. The star of Christianity or in Christianity are those who rise to be political leaders or business entrepreneurs. And their leaders, those are not the stars of Christianity. The stars of Christianity are those who turn many to righteousness. And how do they do it? They preach the gospel of Christ. is coming a day, either now or later, when you leave this world, and nothing in this world will go with you. Not even your age. Your age will become irrelevant. Not your family. Talk less of your houses, your degrees, your positions at your office. Have you ever seen anyone who died and they retained the chair and the office for him and the thing was functioning on his own? He has to be there. That means that's the end. Somebody else will take over. But when you stand before Jesus, it will be, what have you done with my gospel? What have you done? He didn't say, go into, you know, he never sent us to build buildings. He didn't send us to occupy political offices. He didn't send us to buy and sell. He didn't even send us to marry. He didn't send us to have children. But he sent us to preach. Go read your Bible. There was nothing else Jesus instructed outside preaching the gospel. Do you go? Do you go at all? 2016, how many people did you talk to about Jesus? How many received Christ because of you? If your life should end today, who did it profit? Who did it give eternity, eternal life to? Who? Think about it. Think about it. If this message does not affect you, it's two things. It's either you are not a Christian. And I'm telling you, you can come to church, you can come to Saints Community Church and you're not a Christian. Then you're not a Christian at all. Or you're a Christian that has gone so far, we can't know the decision. This must affect you. This is the mind of God. Preach the message of Jesus to all the world. I want to ask you to bow your heads. What have you done with the gospel? Where are your joy, your crown? Those who have embraced the message of Jesus Christ to you. Not those you argued doctrine with on social media. Or those who try to prove how much you know to know. I'm saying those who are born again. Because you gave yourself to the message of Jesus. Think about it. 2016 is ending now. In a couple of days it's going to be over. How many are in eternal life because of you? You are bothered about your own problems. Your business, your career, your marriage. You are bothered about so many things and forgot what's most important in the earth today. I want all of us to make a fresh dedication to serve Him. Make a fresh dedication. A fresh commitment. To go. Don't forget the first time as you go. You go. You go. You go. As you leave this service, go. In the evening, go. When you're back from work and you know you're rested and all that, go. Weekends when you have time after work, go. You go. You go. You don't wait, you don't just pray, you go. You take the decision, you take the action yourself, you go. A sound of you. Just pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost.